But will you turn, first of all, in your Bibles, please, to the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning at verse 9 and through verse 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or who useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter of mediums, or a wizard, or a necromancer, that's one who purports to speak with the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Now, turning to the New Testament, let us look first of all at the Epistle to the Ephesians, if you will, chapter 6. These very familiar words, and I think very pertinent for the moment in which we're living. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10, and for now simply through verse 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies of the devil. Now will you look at 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now will you turn as a final scripture this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, and then notice particularly, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Hal Lindsey, in his latest book, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth, relates the following interview with a friend of mine, whose name is Commander Bob Vernon of the Los Angeles Police Force. Hal Lindsey asked, "Do you see indications of witchcraft or satanic cults in the Los Angeles area?" Answer, yes. They're increasing all the time. We have found evidence of animals, mostly dogs, who have been skinned and all the blood drained from them. We discovered through talking with some of the cult members that the blood is put into cauldrons, mixed with LSD, and then used as a drink during their rites or ceremonies. Question. What are some of the actual cases of Satan worship and these blood sacrifices? Answer. Not too long ago, a woman called us and said that she had seen a van pull up to the beach and some of the occupants take out a box and bury it in the sand. She thought they were trying to dispose of a dead baby. We arrived on the scene and found the box contained the remains of an animal that had obviously been skinned. We have also encountered a case where a part of the ceremony required skinning a dog without killing it. It was a careful job and one of the most pitiful sights I have ever seen. Question. Where are some of these cults located? Answer. Many live in communes. Our metro squad made a raid into a canyon near where they had to let down ropes to get into the area and haul up the occupants. They were living in the most primitive way you can imagine, just a short distance from one of the most affluent neighborhoods in the country, indulging in acts of sexual deviation, pagan ceremonies, and rites which defy imagination. Question. Is Satan worship tied into the drug scene? It's part of it, was the answer. However, some of these procedures have little or no relation to drug usage. Not too long ago, there was a Kissian on a Santa Monica beach. I walked into the area and was struck by the similarity between what I saw and what I knew of the rites of African savages. There were about 400 people so tightly packed together, they were just one big mass swaying to the throb of drums and weird music. Although it was early in the afternoon, we found little drug evidence, and they soon became glassy-eyed, transported, so to speak, into another world. Some of them began to peel off their clothes. Some began to indulge in open sex, oblivious to anyone around them. We noticed that most of them wore charms around their necks. They believe in the spirit world and will readily tell you that the devil is very real to them. Question. Are there leaders in these groups of Satanists or devil worshipers? Answer. Usually. We had a strange one in the station not too long ago who said his name was Om, and that he was God. He had a following who believed that the only way to worship was through sexual deviation, and they practiced all of it. Om has a group of followers who are so perverted, it is impossible to describe. We asked him how old he was. In reply, he replied, "Before the world was, I am." We pressed him for his age, and he replied, "Through the illusion of time, the way you mortals view it, I am 32. Question. You talked about animal blood sacrifices. Have you ever found evidence of human sacrifice? Answer. A highway patrolman apprehended a man who was said to have killed another man and eaten his heart. When the officers searched him, they found the knuckles of a human in the suspect's pocket. He was part a member of a satanic cult. Question. Do you have an explanation for the trend toward witchcraft, Satanism, and some of these other bizarre cults? Answer. For one thing, I know there is a spiritual hunger among people today. Many of them have gone to a church and haven't found the answer to that hunger. Someone comes along and offers them a feeling of belonging and a sense of being loved by a group, and they fall for it. There are other reasons, of course, but longing for acceptance and a place in the world is what I see as being a very important part of the insane direction many are taking into the supernatural. Comments, Hal Lindsay. Commander Vernon is a no-nonsense man. He reports it as he sees it. This, of course, represents a policeman's report from a single city. But there is not a metropolitan area of any size in the United States today where similar activity is not going on. Today, Satanism and other forms of occultism loom as a successor to drugs, as a destroyer among Canadian-American young people particularly. One telephone call in a center in Southern California had received almost all of their calls for help from young people who were hung up on drugs, were runaways, or who had contracted a venereal disease. But in the first 3 months of 1971, they had 60 calls from young people in trouble with the occult. Young people today are being tempted to take trips into many kinds of occult experience. It's interesting that the popularity of occult games is at an all-time high. A television commentator interviewed a sorceress who manufactures and sells voodoo dolls by mail. These are made to order and personalized. She uses dried chicken feet and dried leaves from graveyards and draws faces from photographs and supplies black and white headed pins for process. What is amazing is that the University of California now offers a degree in magic. And the graduate can from that time officially call himself a wizard, offering a consulting service and calling himself a druid and practicing sorcery. In Brazil, the situation is even more grave, for this nation now publishes 150 spiritist newspapers. Returning missionaries report that seances are a part of many, quote, Christian, end quote, worship services in Brazil, in a weird syncretism of the most heinous kind of paganism and a pseudo kind of Christianity. A cult is defined as beyond the bounds of ordinary knowledge, mysterious, concealed, hidden from view, pertaining to certain reputed sciences such as magic, astrology, and other arts and practices involving the use of divination, incantation, magical formula, and so forth. That's the dictionary's definition of the word occult. The King James Version uses the word sorceries as the general term to include all occultism, and occult practitioners are called in the Holy Book sorcerers. In the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments that God gave the people, they are warned that above all they must have no other God before him. Seeking supernatural experiences from any source other than God and his revelation to man is thus a clear violation of the first commandment. The Apostle Paul warns that idolatry in any form, that's worshiping any god, giving obeisance to any god but the true God and the God revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ, is fellowship with demons. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 19 through 22, the apostle says, "What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with demons. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Ye cannot be partakers at the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy?" The nearer word in our language would be indignation, righteous anger. Are we stronger than he? In other words, do we dare to defy him? In this light, it is not difficult to understand that those who adopted the evil practices of the heathen nations that surrounded them, like the Canaanites, for example, those in Israel who adopted those practices were immediately and summarily put to death. In Leviticus 20, verse 27, we read, "A man also or a woman who hath a familiar spirit or who is a wizard shall surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." This gives us something of the idea of the seriousness of this kind of traffic. The Word of God says, interestingly, in Isaiah 47:13, that the Lord challenged the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, the horoscope readers, to save Babylon from his curse. In other words, he said, you can't do it. The 11th chapter of Genesis records the beginning of the occult practice. For the Tower of Babel was not, as some people seem to think, a naive and ridiculous attempt of man to climb up to heaven in a physical sense. No, indeed. Instead, it was an attempt on the part of man to search out the heavens exactly in the way that modern astrology attempts to do and to apply it as a guide to life. For the meaning of the word that's translated in the English version tower is the word ziggurat. And on the top of it were the signs of the zodiac. Since this was the forerunner of the modern horoscope, it is doubly significant that God came down and confounded man's first attempt to satisfy his curiosity by means of the occult. As we draw near to the time of our Lord's return, it is interesting to note that the Word of God says there are four types or categories of sin of which man will refuse to repent during the terrible judgments in the wake of the sixth trumpet that we studied in the 9th chapter of Revelation. Those four sins are cited in verse 21, and they are murderers, sorceries, fornication, thefts. These are the primary characteristics of our culture today. Violence, occultism, immorality, and corruption. By the way, the Greek word translated sorceries is the word pharmakia, from which our word pharmacy is derived. Clearly implied then is drug-related fellowship with demons. Certainly an up-to-date concept in these days of the hallucinogenic drugs which users claim their trips give them a religious experience. For example, the terribly sad story of Timothy Leary and his LSD religion. Now, it's interesting in passing that Time magazine, for this very week, March the 5th, has on its front piece a drawing of one Carlos Castaneda with the words Magic and Reality, the title of Time's essay on this strange man who has written several books as a result of his ostensible meeting with a Juan Matus, which took place, Time says, in 1960 in a dusty Arizona bus depot near the Mexican border. This was the beginning of the education of Castaneda, who I believe is a PhD from UCLA, as a sorcerer. In his first book, he describes the initial steps in the process involved the use of drugs. He mentions specifically Jimson weed, magic mushrooms, peyote, etc. According to Castaneda's agent, the sale of his books is currently so great that they are selling at the rate of $16,000 a week, and it will make him a millionaire before very, very many months go by. This is what's interesting. Time magazine declares, "For Don Juan's teachings have reached print precisely the moment when more Americans than ever before are disposed to consider non-rational approaches to reality. This new openness of mind displays itself on many levels, from extrasensory perception experiments funded indirectly by the United States government
to the weeping throngs of California 13-year-olds getting blissed out, and that's the way they wrote it, blissed out by the latest child guru off a charter jet from Bombay. The acupuncturist now shares the limelight with Marcus Welby, M.D., and then notice, and his needles are seen to work. Nobody knows why, says Time. In addition to occult games and the use of drugs producing euphoria or hallucination, there are many other modern varieties of occult experience about which Christians should be informed. Virtually all of the ancient evils listed in Deuteronomy 18 that we just read a moment ago are extant and apparent and rampant in the world today. As the March 1970 issue of McCall's magazine devoted to the occult explosion so readily testifies, included our sections on alchemy, palmistry, seances, crystal ball gazing, astrology, tarot cards, magic, witchcraft, parapsychology. But perhaps the most distinctly modern phenomenon of contemporary occultism was the rise of strange religious cults, largely Eastern in nature, not necessarily new, though some are, including, for example, Chinese I Ching, Hindu Vedanta scriptures, the Hare Krishna Hindus, Zen Buddhists and their writings, Baha'ism, the Soga Gakkai from Japan, which, by the way, are growing at the rate of 35,000 a year in the United States, American Indian lore, astrology, Scientology, and so we could go on. However, in recent years, a very mysterious phenomenon has taken place because there has been a change. In the early days of the hippie culture and the Aquarian Age, the main emphasis was upon utopian dreams of peace on earth and love, and was very definitely related to the threat of thermonuclear bombs, the Vietnam War, the political incredibility, the generation gap, the drug culture, and pollution. In the early 60s, for example, the visitor to the Haight-Ashbury area in San Francisco saw thousands of long-haired flower children mixing with gurus and astrologers and Hindu mystics and soothsayers in a very strange hodgepodge of cross-current activities. This was, I think, dramatized by the musical Hair that burst on the American scene in 1967 with its theme song, The Age of Aquarius. Now, however, that's all changed. Anton LaVey, the head of the San Francisco group known as the Church of Satan, has been quoted as saying, and this is very significant, "The Satanic Age started in 1966. That was when God was proclaimed dead. The Sexual Freedom League came into existence and prominence, and the hippie culture developed as a free sex culture," end quote. The book Rosemary's Baby, with its theme of incubus, the birth of a child through cohabitation with a demon, upon which the movie was based, that grossed millions of dollars, and by the way, the book sold 2.5 million copies. Anton LaVey, many do not realize this, was the one who played the role of the devil in the picture Rosemary's Baby. And he states that the movie was the best paid commercial for Satanism since the Inquisition against witches conducted by the medieval church. The ending has the heroine accept to her bosom the offspring that was implanted within her by the devil. The witch leader, Castevet, cries out in triumph, "God is dead and Satan lives. The year is won, the year of our Lord Satan, The year is won and God is done. And that's the way it ends. The first satanic church boasts a membership at this moment of 10,000. And by the way, according to LaVey's testimony, the congregation is only made up of those who are permitted to be there. Not anyone can attend. And for membership, you are carefully screened. And yet they boast 10,000 faithful members. And Anton LaVey says, and within every man is a demon. You know, whenever I read something like this or I hear about it and I think of the negligent Laodicean attitude of most Christians toward the cause of Christ, I become righteously indignant. If there ever was a day when we ought to show to the world the preeminence of Jesus Christ in our lives, this is the hour. And our churches should be filled to capacity every time the doors are open to witness to the world what Jesus Christ and His body, the church, means to us. John P. Newport says, is it not ironic that in 1969, ritual murders suggesting black magic was performed against Sharon Tate? Now, get how this all ties together. The wife of Roman Polanski, who was the director of Rosemary's Baby, and of course, this terrible, bizarre series of murders that took place on that awful night included four others. The alleged killers were later apprehended and they composed a mystical magic sex cult that were known as the Manson family. Such a group was immediately suspected, and that's the reason they were so quickly apprehended, since the Polanskis were alleged to have had contacts with sex and drug and witchcraft groups in the Los Angeles area. Sharon, who was 8 1/2 months pregnant, just about to give birth to her child, was found nude with a breast cut off and a black magic X carved into her stomach. Another victim had been brutally mutilated and had the same X marks. The Polanskis and many of their friends were also deeply involved with Eastern mysticism and spent long evenings reading the hexagrams of I Ching. Sharon was a student, a devout student of black magic, voodoo, astrology, and occult rites and arts. The neighbors reported that the Polanskis had parties involving altars and white-robed people wearing animal masks. It is also revealing that a member of the Manson family, Charles D. Tex Watson, was a young man who came from a normal so-called, quote, Christian, end quote, background. A former star athlete, he had come under the dominance of drugs and demonic forces and made the statement that he was unable to escape. In all, at least 11 persons died as a result of Manson's demonic activities. Manson had announced and perhaps believed that he was simultaneously Jesus Christ and Satan. Yet Manson was declared sane. That he was in the power of demonic force cannot be easily denied. The Manson-Polanski case is obviously an extreme one. But to the most skeptical, there is evidence that interest in the demonic and the occult is widespread and dangerous. Astrological themes and echoes of general occultism pervade all the phases of the musical hair. The eager world of fashion and fun has embraced the beads and the flowers and the incense and the pot of the hippies. Now it's turned to zodiac jewelry and computerized horoscopes and public exorcisms. All this is becoming more and more commonplace. Edgar Mitchell, one of our astronauts, had a telepathic experiment with a very well-known Chicago seer by the name of Olaf Johnson during the flight of Apollo 14. And thus he has made the cult revolution a cosmic affair. Dennis Wheatley contends that there are 30,000 covens or organized small groups of witches in Great Britain alone. Christian workers in Switzerland report that almost every village has a witch or a medium who casts spells or brews potions. Professor Huston Smith of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, tells of the interest, and this is very intriguing, of some of the intellectual and aristocrats of that scientifically oriented school. He says their topics of interest now include Asian philosophy, yoga, Zen, I Ching, brown rice diets, astrology, astral projection, astral bodies, tarot cards, parapsychology, witchcraft, magic, and drugs. These are the interests of the high-level intellectuals, some of them at MIT. This is not an exceptional situation. Andrew Greeley of the University of Chicago reports that in most of the elite universities, horoscopes and the prediction of the future by tarot cards are widespread. By the way, in my next message, I'm going to be telling you why men have turned to this kind of vagary in the dimness of the supernatural and the evil. The occult has even reached into high places in organized Christendom. As I mentioned in a previous message, a Philadelphia spiritist medium, Arthur Ford, sought to help the late Bishop James Pike communicate with his dead son. And my, what a sad story that is, his book called The Other Side. Ford now has organized several thousand Protestant clergymen into a Spiritual Frontiers Fellowship from mainline denominations in California. While I was there as a pastor, this organization met in the Methodist Church, the First Methodist Church of Glendale. These clergymen engage in psychical research in attempts to communicate with the dead through mediums. And you've heard me say that I believe in the terrible vacuum of theological liberalism that denies the infallibility of God's revelation and the deity of Christ. There will be more and more a swing into the occult. All of this is in direct fulfillment of the prophecy we just read in 1 Timothy 4:1, which warns that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. As we shall see on successive evenings, the Lord willing, the Word of God predicts there will be an increase in demonic activity in the last days. And so we can see it coming to pass, as we have so much of God's prophecy. Supernaturalism in many forms is flooding American culture. Our age is characterized by an ever-increasing flood of satanic wickedness, ranging all the way from psychic afflictions to moral aberrations. And this rapid expansion of the kingdom of darkness is affecting and influencing the world, its governments, society, the church, the life of the believer. And I believe some of the terrible events that are transpiring in our time have behind them a sinister evil force that defies many times definition. We think of what has happened in recent days. We think of what has taken place in the wanton killing that goes on in the Mideast. Such demonic activity is also in evidence by the fantastic increase in crime, lust, deceit, moral depravity, suicide, war, homosexuality, fear, worry, anxiety, atheism, disease, psychic disorders, oppression, possession, drug and alcohol addiction. There never has been a time when the warnings against the danger of occultism were more necessary and more needful than in the hour in which we now live, says McCandlish Phillips. And I agree with every word. If you would not thrust your hand into a snake pit, you should not permit yourself to be drawn into an involvement with one or another form of occultism. Even in a tentative and a pure experimental way, without knowing that it is possible for you to step over the threshold and pass the door that will slam shut behind you as soon as you stand on the far side of it, and slam shut so tightly that nothing you can do or ever will do will ever allow you to back out. Says Phillips, that does happen, and I have seen it happen. Perhaps the most alarming facet of present occult craze is the ignorance of Christians of its dangers and even of its scope. For those who have never experimented with the occult arts, God's command can be summarized perfectly in one word: don't. For those who have already dabbled in the occult and are reaping the harvest of such sowing, let me conclude my message by saying, number one, confess your faith in the living Christ, and in prayer praise God for the mighty truth of his gospel. Thank him for deliverance from the power of Satan, which is possible only through the shed blood of the matchless Christ and the open confession of him as the supreme Lord of life and the only Savior. We read about the great overcomers of the tribulation, and we're told in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, speaking of the adversary, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. In Romans 10:9-10, the apostle assures us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made. Secondly, confess each contact with the occult as sin, no matter how casual it may have been. And remember that to confess is to agree with God on the subject of sin. To agree that what God says is sin is sin. God forbid that we take lightly what he regards as an abomination, that he regarded so seriously, that if any of the people of Israel brought that kind of contamination from the heathen religions that surrounded them into Israel, they were put to death. First John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thirdly, renounce Satan and all his works, and command him to depart in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord gave us the example in this respect in Matthew 4:10. Then said Jesus unto him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We have a glorious promise in James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Make it clear that you are taking back the place in your life you have given the adversary. And he is now being replaced by the conscious presence of the triumphant Christ. Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Then steadfastly resist any further attempts by the adversary to subject you to his power. And especially, listen carefully, especially guard against your thought life. Heed the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a magnificent scripture. You ever think about surrendering your thought life, what you think, your imagination to Jesus Christ? He should be in control of it. And when he is, you will think the right kind of thoughts. Lastly, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies of the devil. Oh, make the study of the Word of God a part of your life. Make prayer your very breath. Nothing so effectively drives out occult, satanic power and falsehood than God's truth. Nothing so dispels the power of darkness as God's light. Our Lord gave an unequivocating promise when he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John tells us in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of Satan. Thank God, in him there is victory, total victory. You need never even be harassed by Satan if your life is hid with Christ in God. But without him, you are defenseless against the assaults of the adversary. Let us pray. Our wonderful Lord, we thank thee for this delightful evening that we've spent together. And how we thank thee for the pure light that streams from the pages of the Holy Book, that irradiates the darkness. Oh, how we thank thee that if we walk with thee, we walk in the light. And the efficacy of thy shed blood on Skull Hill continues to cleanse us from the contamination and the pollutions of sin. And now, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed,